Before we dive into this episode, make sure you're subscribed to our newsletter at driveonpodcast.com/subscribe. You'll get my 5 favorite episodes sent straight to your inbox. No fluff, just the best insights to help you drive on. You ever feel like no one understands what you're going through? The struggle to transition back to civilian life? The weight of mental health battles? Or just that deep need for a tribe that truly gets you? Could faith be the missing piece to resilience? Today we're talking with Army veteran Charles Watkins, founder of Breaking the Silence, an organization dedicated to supporting veterans and first responders through faith, community, and real-world support. We're breaking down how faith intersects with resilience, the power of camaraderie, and why finding purpose after service might start with simply reaching out. So let's get into it. I want to welcome you to the show, Charles. Really glad to have you here.
Thank you so much. I'm really glad to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So can you maybe start by sharing a bit about your own military experience and maybe how that influenced your path to founding Veterans Ministry?
Right. So actually, I changed up the name. The name is now, it became Breaking the Silence. And the reason that I changed it is because I don't know if having ministry in the title or what, you know, it seems like that some people may be hesitant, especially like I was reaching out to churches and they were kind of hesitant. And I think it's coming, maybe was coming across as like it's a ministry, you know, specifically for veterans.
Sure.
So I tried to change it up, you know, especially because I kind of feel like that military suicide, even law enforcement suicide is something that, you know, it's not really talked about, you know, in I would say at the level that regular suicide is talked about when it's generalized to everybody. So sure. That's the reason for the change. But my military experience, it played a very significant role in shaping the vision that I have for this ministry. Because when I was in, I served as a chaplain assistant. And then it was there where the chaplain would make me do prayers and things like that. And I'm like, I don't want to hear, you know, none of this stuff, man. I'm fine. But actually, I got out and when I got out, we were living with my sister-in-law. We didn't have anywhere to go, and we started renting a house from a preacher. So every time I go to pay the rent, the preacher would be like, hey, why don't you come to church? No, sir, I'm all right. Appreciate it, but no. And I think part of that stemmed from because I grew up in the Catholic Church, and there's a lot of standing, kneeling, and a lot of just seriousness. And so finally, after he asked me for the 100th time, I said, you know what, I'll go. And then after that, I just, you know, with the experience that I had, I just kind of, you know, that's when I started going to church and it really started taking shape. But so as a chaplain assistant, we did a lot of providing support. We had 800 soldiers in our unit and their family members that we had to provide, whether it was just counseling, crisis intervention, whatever the case may be. And it was very, very mentally draining, but... And through that role, I saw firsthand, though, the emotional, spiritual, and mental struggles that many service members were facing, especially when it comes to combat, people dealing with things like PTSD and trying to transition back into civilian life. And when I left the military, I had a very, very hard time readjusting. I was getting in the car and I was driving to the Pennsylvania border because I'm originally from there. And I would drive and then I would turn around and just come right back to South Carolina. And finally, after about 2 weeks, my wife's like, hey, you can't do this no more. You know, it's costing a lot to, you know, just take a trip. So I'm like, okay. But she helped me. She was one of the main reasons I was able to get through it. Even though she didn't really understand, she was there to support me and everything that I needed. But after I left the military, I continued working in law enforcement. I was supervising sex offenders and probation and parole. And then I'd even encountered veterans in probation and parole who were struggling with addiction and homelessness and mental health challenges. And I started doing the research and you find out that at the time when I was doing it, 22 veterans a day were committing suicide, one service member a day. And then law enforcement, you know, was also above the national average. So that's why I really founded the ministry, to cater to those who may feel like that nobody understands or that even that, you know, they're being left behind.
And I think it's important to point out too that there is a camaraderie that's lost when you get out of that military environment, even law enforcement, or, you know, I've never served in a law enforcement capacity, but from people I've spoken to, you know, the folks that you serve with in whatever capacity that you're serving, they sort of understand and kind of get where you're coming from. with some of the struggles and things, and you can open up to them a little bit more and just talk like, man, that was crazy. But, you know, that that experience, right? But when you walk into your cubicle at your office, whatever you might be working at in the civilian world, and something's been bugging you from your time in the military, you're not going to just open up to the guy in the next cubicle and just start talking about, man, this crazy night when all this stuff went down, and it's really been getting at me. So you kind of lose that camaraderie with those other people that you served with who do have a little bit of understanding. Maybe they weren't there with you at the time that whatever this incident might have been that we might be talking about, they may not have been there, but they can certainly relate to it because they've probably had some experiences similar enough to it that they can understand where you're coming from. And I think that's a huge component of it, right? But then when you take things like religion and faith, spirituality, all of these things, when you kind of combine them together with these issues that people might be facing, people will, I would imagine, start to have a little bit easier of a time healing when they're allowing this to enter their lives, right? Where maybe they never went to church growing up as a kid, and they didn't, it's, I don't know, maybe it's a little bit scary to them and they're not sure what to expect. I don't mean scary as in like, boo kind of scary, but like, it's just, it's that fear of the unknown. It's like, I don't know what am I getting into? They're going to be brainwashing me or something. Like who knows what's going on with this. But when you're like, okay, well, there's other folks here who are similar enough to me. Maybe I can let my guard down a little bit and I can actually open up and talk about some of these things. Maybe that's that first step into this sort of healing, right?
Yep. And when we talk about like the intersection of like faith and resilience, they kind of go hand in hand, especially for veterans who have faced trauma, loss, and different challenges of, like I said, trying to transition back into civilian life. But I've seen firsthand how faith can be a powerful foundation for healing and perseverance. And that's kind of why I tried to incorporate, the ministry, but also just regular mental health resources for, people who may not at the moment be into that. They don't want to have nothing to do with it. And that's fine, but there has to be a balance to where you can reach people at a spiritual level who want it, but you can also reach people who, don't want it. I kind of think that, the biggest key here is trying to take the people who are struggling the most and bring them into a nurturing environment with, like you said, people who understand that they may not have been there with me that night. They may not have, went through the exact same thing, but we were all in the suck together.
Yeah, that's right. Even within the different MOSs, you might have an infantry or an MP or someone in finance. I don't know. Someone in your role too is a chaplain assistant. There are different things that people experience. There are a lot of times deployments, overseas, and you see different things. It doesn't matter what your job is. There could be a mortar attack on your base. And just because you were in finance doesn't mean that you didn't experience that, right? Someone like yourself, a chaplain assistant, who is going to people who are very often in kind of the lows of their relationships. A lot of, you mentioned some of the issues that people might be going through, their spiritual issues that they might be dealing with, or I don't know, that's a lot of weight for any one person to kind of carry as well. So no matter what the job is, there's stresses that come along with it, and knowing that there's somebody else there who kind of gets the overall big picture of, this is the military, this is the military life, this is what we all signed up for and to support in one way or another. And you at least have that baseline understanding, right? Whereas in a civilian environment, you may not have that. So I can appreciate where you're coming from with all of that, right? And then talking about that intersection of faith and resilience, right? Resilience, I mean, that's a whole big can of worms, that we can open up, we can go down that road, but there's a lot of different ways that you can support someone in a, to become more resilient, and lots of different emotional, spiritual type things. Are there different programs or different things that you utilize in your ministry that helps to promote that type of stuff through this program?
Yeah, so on the website, what I did was I found crisis intervention online, and what I did was I took ones for military, first responders, and even just ones where regular people can reach out, so that would be tailored more to your family members, and I put those right on the front of the website. You know, I want to make sure that's, if you're in a crisis, hey, here you go, and it connect them, whether they want phone, text, chat, whatever, it'll connect them right away. And then what I did was I put just a bunch of resources on the website, different links to VA things and different things to like finding a treatment locator for like substance abuse, things like that. So there's put a lot of resources onto the website and trying to engage with people. Like I sent out emails, I was sending them out to churches, and I really wasn't getting many responses. And I get a call from a guy and he says, hey, look, I don't know if you do this, but we have a guy here. He's a retired colonel and he's in the early stages of dementia, and there's no homes, you know, for veterans around here. And then I was able to start looking at that, so I can start adding that to the website. There's a lot of different, you know, things that people are facing, and I'm trying to, you know, my best that if people reach out to me like, hey, this is a need we're facing. And I did the research for that guy, and I said, hey, this is what I came up with. I gave him a list of different people that provide such services. But we just try to take an approach to where we can support and recognize that people need healing and to be resilient. And that requires emotional, sometimes spiritual, and community-based solutions where, you know, it's not just, it could be a one-on-one thing, but when you have, I kind of feel like when you have a group of people who have all been through the same thing and they all share a common experience, you're more likely to open up to them. And it's just a better overall experience when you know that there's a bunch of people, hey, that feel like I do.
Right. Well, it's just like if you go back to military days, for anyone's out there listening who is a veteran, right? You had your group of people that you'd hang out with, and you'd be able to just talk about stuff. And
yep.
It wasn't like a structured therapy session. It was just, you know, maybe a bunch of guys just talking about, you know, whatever mm-hmm. came to mind. Sometimes it's stupid stuff that comes to mind, but that kind of develops that connection, that bond, the camaraderie that we were talking about before. It creates all of that, which opens up an environment where now when something a little bit more serious comes up, you have this opportunity. You can just talk about someone, you know, you lose someone, you know, whether it's in a firefight or, you know, whatever, like that's pretty serious. And so now you have this environment where, yeah, sure, I can joke with these guys that I've been talking with forever, but I feel like I can also talk to them about something a little bit more serious too. Yep. And yeah, sure, they may, you know, crack a joke or something like that to try to keep the mood light, but they're doing it from a you know, place, I think, of understanding, where they understand where you're coming from. Yeah, cool, you got it off your chest. Now let's try to help heal each other, right? And so that comes from that group environment, though, right?
Yep. And I think another big thing is, I think having veterans in different places in life is also something that, you know, should not go unnoticed. Such as, I was watching a video the other day where a veteran with PTSD was standing there saying he wanted the cops to kill him. He was trying to do, you know, a death or, you know, suicide by cop.
Yeah.
And another cop who was a veteran was able to talk him down from it, you know, and at the end he got all emotional because, you know, it's, you know, had a veteran not shown up, you know, maybe the outcome would have been different.
Sure.
Someone that didn't understand what that guy was going through. So, you know, it's just having that community-oriented support system, I think, is what's really needed for veterans to know that, hey, there's other people out here who I can depend on.
Yeah, for sure. And I also think from conversations that I've had with many, many people over the last few years through doing this podcast, that service to other people is a big thing that will help. Seems like just about anybody with their own struggles and issues they may be going through, you know, and that service could be in so many different forms. It could be, you know, helping out at a veterans hospital. It could be, you know, helping the homeless or helping, I don't know, taking care of dogs at an animal shelter or whatever it is. It's just serving. It provides you with a sense of purpose, I feel like, a sense of meaning in your life. And I could see just from you through, first off, you know, serving in the military and then continuing that work and continuing the service that you're doing now through this ministry, that seems like a key component of your life. How do you see it, though, in as far as maybe within your own life, but also for other people? Do you see service as being kind of a, you know, an avenue for people to grow and transform in their own lives?
Absolutely. You know, when I was younger, I used to be a very self-centered person, you know, and a lot of people, you know, they don't really understand this, but not everybody signs up for the military because they want to serve their country or they're super proud of America. You know, when I joined the military, it was because there was no jobs. I had nothing. And so I needed something and I joined. And after joining and doing something where I was serving something other than myself, it kind of walked me into becoming, you know, not so selfish and wanting to, you know, serve others. And for example, it seems like ever since then, I've just been in a constant state of serving people, whether it was, you know, stepping up to fill a role at the church when the youth needed a leader, or my neighbor. I had a couple neighbors who fell. One neighbor fell. He had COVID. I ran in, you know, to help him off the floor. Another one was all bloody. He was super drunk, fell over, and he was an elderly guy. I helped him up, no problem. But it seems like that it's like became the center of my life. But I noticed, like I said, when you serve, it's kind of like you shift your focus from yourself and it goes to the needs of others. And then the shift brings a perspective of gratitude and deeper sense of purpose. For veterans and first responders, with many whom struggle with a loss of identity after their service ends, stepping into a role where they can help others can be healing. It can be a healing, you know, not just for the people who you're helping, but for yourself. And it reminds them that everything they learned in the military, it's and all the sacrifices that were made, it still has meaning.
Yeah, it does. And through a group like this, like where you have a, you know, a bunch of people coming together, you know, and someone's going to be having it probably worse off than you are, and somebody else is going to be doing a little bit better than somebody else, and you know, you can all help lift each other up, as opposed to, you know, stepping on top of each other, trying to get yourself out. You can help lift each other up. And I think that's kind of where I see the benefit of this is there's that collective effort. Like, we all want to get better. We all want to help each other out. And when you have people, especially a bunch of military folks coming together, I mean, I don't know there's anything you can't accomplish, right?
Yep, I agree. And to add on to that, you know, I kind of feel like that service, it helps to build that resilience that we talked about earlier. Yeah. And when you walk with others through their struggles, whether it's mentoring another veteran, supporting someone in a crisis, or just even lending, you know, like a listening ear, you gain strength. You don't have to just help them gain strength, but you also gain it in, you know, in your own journey. And you realize that adversity doesn't have to define who you are. It doesn't have to define your situation. It can equip you to actually make a difference.
Yeah, it does. It does allow you to come from maybe a place of understanding for other people who are going through something similar, or maybe not even similar, but just something difficult. It's like, hey, I've been through something difficult too, and I know it sucks, and it's hard, and I don't know exactly what you're going through, but I know it's not easy, and you know, I can be here just to shut up and listen if that's what you need, you know? And, you know, so you kind of have a little bit better idea of what is going on with that other person.
Yep. Another thing I noticed.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
All right. Another thing that I noticed is that in the military, and I don't know if it's like this in other branches, but at least within the Army, confidentiality is on a whole nother level. So for example, if someone would come in and tell you something, you can't tell anybody else. So like me and the chaplain, it was us. That was it. So if, for example, if he was off at someone's, you know, doing a home visit, and I remained back at the office, and like the commanding officer came in, hey, where's the chaplain? I was like, sir, I don't know if I can tell you, and, you know, and Are you effing with me, Watkins? No, sir. Listen, I mean, no disrespect. I don't know if I can tell you. You'd have to call the chaplain. But it even goes so far as, like, if we were both in the military and you told me something as the chaplain assistant, and then you died, if I ever wanted to tell anybody that, I would have to go to your next of kin to be able to release whatever it is you told me. And they teach you it when you're in school to become a chaplain assistant. Hey, even if you go to court and the judge says, you tell me right now you're going to jail, you're going to jail. You don't tell. And I think there's something to be said with that, because I noticed that places like the VA or even just counselors in general, they give you the statement up front, like, hey, if you tell me anything that checks one of these boxes, I'm calling the law enforcement on you, or I'm calling somebody on you. And sometimes, you know, people just want to vent, and they may say things in the heat of the moment that they don't actually mean. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that letting people know that, hey, I'm not just going to run off and call law enforcement on you just because you may have said something.
Right.
But there needs to be a place where veterans can vent to where they don't have fear of repercussion trying to get something off their chest. Because then I honestly think that that really leads to a suppression of certain things that they really want to say.
Well, yeah, exactly. And I know, you know, veterans are, they're going to keep that stuff in if they feel like there's any chance that that's going to get out. And yeah, I'm going to have the law enforcement called on me because I said the wrong thing, or I'm going to have someone knocking on my door coming to take my guns away or something because I said something. And it's like, well, we don't want that to happen. And, you know, so like that for me, honestly, you know, in my own story, going back to, you know, why didn't I get help sooner? Well, that was kind of part of it. I mean, it wasn't the whole thing, but in the back of my mind, I was like, I don't know what's going to happen as soon as I say, hey, I need some help. They're going to come take all my guns away. They're going to come lock me up and, you know, put me away someplace just, you know, until I, you know, get whatever kind of help that they're offering, or shove whatever pills they're going to shove down my throat or whatever. And so for me, and it was kind of like the fear of the unknown for me. It was like, I just didn't know what I didn't know either. And I didn't really have anybody that I felt like I could just talk to about this, you know, like where I felt like, this is going to be safe. I can talk to this person and they're going to be knowledgeable of whatever it is that I'm asking about. But the funny thing was, when I would start to go for, now this, I'm taking a step away from spiritual side here, but just, you know, mental health treatment in general. And I think this is kind of along the lines of what we were talking about anyways, but as I would go to my appointments, there'd be guys that I served with coming out of the appointment. Like, they had the appointment just before me. And I was like, oh, you know, I could have talked to that guy and he would have like understood what I was talking about because he was coming out of this appointment too. And, you know, so, you know, like a lot of times you might have that fear of, geez, I don't know. Can I actually talk to someone? I mean, turned out in my case, there were several guys that I definitely could have talked to. They were coming right out of that same counselor's office and easily could have talked to those guys, just didn't know it. Right. And so, you know, maybe if we just kind of opened up a little bit more and actually shared this with each other, we might actually be able to have a conversation about these things. And, you know, who knows, maybe even take the load off of some of these counselors.
You know, and like, I'm a very big critic of the VA. My personal experience with the VA, I really honestly believe that the VA has done, at least in my personal opinion, and everything that I've went through, they have done more harm than actual good. Not everybody, but a lot of people. And I really feel like you said, with the taking the gun things, it just came out recently that the VA, when people were needing the fiduciary services, they were putting them on the criminal system under the FBI, taking away their guns, you know. And I'm hoping that with this, with the new guy coming in, taking over the VA, that hopefully we'll see a lot of, you know, positive changes for veterans. But I mean, like you said, if you need help, by all means, go to the VA. But at the same time, you may get there, find someone coming out, you know, and you may benefit just from talking from them, you know, with other veterans. And that's what we try to incorporate is, hey, you don't always have to go to the VA. You don't always have to go to a professional, you know, come try this and let's see if, you know, it resonates with you.
That's right. And one of the purposes of this show is to shine light on services like what you're offering. And there's countless other services out there. There's so many nonprofits that are focused on veterans, and not just nonprofits. There's other organizations too, but let's just, for now, if you just focus on the nonprofits, you're still going to have tons and tons of options that are out there, because there's just thousands and thousands of them. But there's so many different options out there that people don't even realize that there's stuff outside of the VA, and they go to the VA once and they have one bad experience and they're like, well, there's nothing for me out there, because the VA doesn't have anything for me. That's all that there is out there for veterans. So it couldn't be any further from the truth, but there's just so many things out there, and including ministries like yours, where there are people, like-minded people. Maybe they already have their spiritual world and religious and their faith all kind of figured out, but maybe they didn't. Maybe they are just dipping their toe in the water. Kind of like you were when you were talking about that pastor was inviting you to the service. And you kept blowing them off. And then eventually you're like, okay, well, I guess I'll go check it out, And, there's people like that too. And I don't think there's anything wrong with anywhere along that whole spectrum of I got everything figured out, which I don't know that anybody actually does, but, maybe they think they do. I don't know. They feel like it. Anyways, they're comfortable anyways with their faith and religion, all the way down to someone who's maybe just completely not comfortable with it at all. And there's that whole wide spectrum of people, and all of them can find a place in a ministry like yours where they can, come in and share their experiences, talk about things, and again, helping each other out. But part of part of the reason for this show is to shine light on organizations like this, because not everybody knows all of the things that are out there. I know, we have Google, you can Google it, but what are you really looking for if you're not sure what you're looking for? And that's, I think, one of the drawbacks to things like that is if you don't know what to look for, then Google doesn't know either. it's only as smart as a person on the other end, who's typing away. So that's what we're trying to do here is just shine light on these things. And if, you feel like you've tried everything and even been listening to this show for the last few years, and you've tried all the different things that we've talked about, and you're like, I really haven't given a, good try on my faith or my religion or anything like that, well, maybe there's some work to be done there. And maybe you might want to be open to the possibility of joining a ministry like this.
Yeah. And like I said, I try to make it so it's kind of, I'm trying to find as close as I can get to a kind of just like a one-stop shop, a one size will fit all, whether you want spiritual, whether you just want a listening ear, you don't want spiritual, hey, come see what we have to offer, and I've tried to put it out there to where if people just, I'm like, if you look at the website, there's a place where you can book different things, and hey, it's all free. You want to have a session and just talk, by all means, book an appointment. I'll sit there and talk with you for an hour. I don't care. It doesn't bother me not one bit. I had surgery earlier this year, and while I was healing from surgery, I actually got fired from my job. So, my days are pretty wide open right now. So, you need to talk, set an appointment. Let's talk. But I also I've tried to reach out to churches and do things with them and different organizations. Hey, let me come speak to your veterans, because, and I tell this to the churches that, Jesus himself didn't even reach everybody. He couldn't, be just because of how people are. So, you may be missing some people to where I can come and talk specifically to that group, and we can work together to reach everybody. And that's, I kind of feel like that's what Jesus did, was he focused on building a team so that they could reach more people. And, I reached out to him, hey, let me come talk to your veterans. Let's start tackling this together. Let me come help you set up a veterans ministry, get all these guys together, and you could have your own fellowship group, specifically for people who are, need someone that resonates with them. So, I'm trying different things. And like I said, I made it so that, the website, you could pretty much find hope in 80 to 90% of what you're looking for. If it's something outside of my expertise and you're like, hey, I have a drug problem, treatment locator. Hey, I need to talk to somebody, like I feel like I'm depressed, or I'm having PTSD, you know, bad. There's a locator for that. So all they got to do, you know, go on the website, see what you find. You want to talk? Let's, you know, hey, let's talk. So there's a lot of different things I try to incorporate there.
Yeah, sure. And I think one of the interesting things that you brought up about going to some of these churches is you're absolutely right. I mean, Jesus did kind of build his team of people to go out, because you're right, he couldn't reach everybody.
Yep.
I mean, he still doesn't reach everybody for all intents and purposes, right? And so he had those people go out and spread that message, because, I mean, just like any, think about anything that you've done in the military, you have a team to go out and do it. You're not like, hey, you need to go individually, go kick in that door and go, you know, take that objective yourself. Like, no, you had a whole team behind you, you know, coming in that door with you. Not to mention the fact that you also had people who were, you know, in logistics, who were handling, you know, making sure that you were, you know, well supplied, and you had, you know, people who were making the food that made you well fed so that you were able to have the energy to go do that mission. And, you know, spiritual people like yourself who would make sure that that ground was covered. You had a whole team of people behind you. I think I read somewhere, you know, for every one boots on the ground during the Iraq conflict, it required like 8 other people to provide support for that one combat soldier. So, you know, it's just a whole team that you need to be able to go in and accomplish whatever your mission is, right? So when you're talking about, you know, going into these churches, maybe the leadership in those churches, they don't really have any experience with veterans or the issues that they have, but they have plenty of veterans maybe in their, you know, coming to their church. And, you know, it's, for them, it might just be like, well, what do we do? We just lump them in with everybody else. Sure, you could do that, and that might even be appropriate in some occasions, but there might also be some things where it's like, hey, I kind of don't want, like I was saying before, you don't necessarily want to talk to your coworker, you know, in your civilian job who'd never served in the military about military-related issues, because you're going to come off sounding pretty weird to that person you know, sometimes. So, yeah, setting up those ministries within a, you know, already established church, I think that's a great avenue and a great way to get more people involved.
Yeah, and I've come to find out that it's tough too, because I think I've sent out easily 1,500 emails and I've only gotten a few replies, and, you know, it's, I can't figure out for the life of me why, because I try to be very transparent in the emails and, you know, hey, this is what we do, here's our website, you can go look at it. And I think that a lot of that comes from just people being weary of, hey, this might be a scam, this might be a fly-by-night thing trying to take, you know, take some money from us or whatever the case may be. But, you know, I'm still fighting it, trying to do my best to reach them. So yeah, but it's funny you say that about the civilian job. When I first got out of the military, I started working for a gun manufacturer and I was assembling firearms, and then I moved into the painting department when I got there. Didn't really talk to anybody until I heard the supervisor of that department. He walked over to the machine and he said, this machine has a class 3 leak. I was like, whoa, I haven't heard that since the military. That's crazy. And then found out he was in. And after that, me and him, you know, always together talking, chit-chatting. So yeah, it's, when you find out someone else is, you know, a shared experience, it's a powerful thing.
It is powerful. And I found just through this podcast, conversations that I'll have, you know, you're familiar with this, because prior to us sitting down and hitting record, we only really spoke for a couple minutes maybe beforehand.
Yeah.
But you get pretty comfortable talking to another veteran pretty quickly. And by the end of the conversation, it's like, you know, we can talk about just about anything and it's not going to seem strange. You know, we can pick a topic and we'll go down that rabbit hole and it's okay. And so I think like we just have this strange way of bonding together.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that we're going to, every veteran's always going to be a best friend with everybody, because, you know, there are some, quite frankly, there's some jerks that served in the military too, and you don't necessarily want to be best friends with them. But more likely than not, you're going to find people with similar interests, similar shared experiences that you're going to be able to talk to. And so someone like yourself, you know, going into work, not really talking to, you know, any of these people, and then finding out that there's another veteran there, you're going to start talking with that person. You're going to be, I think naturally you're just going to gravitate towards that person a little bit more, right?
Yep, absolutely. I was watching a video on YouTube the other day, and the guy asked a question. hey, do you still have that NCO that you vowed if you ever saw him in public, you were going to punch him in the face? And I went, yep, I know that guy. You know, but, you know, that in the military, that guy was, he was a good leader. He was very, very tough. But it was, you know, it's funny. They say stuff and you're like, yep, I did that. Yep, I'm going to do that. Yep.
I can relate. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's those little things that, maybe in the back of your head, you have this little scenario played out, like, yeah, I'm going to punch that guy in the face. But you bring that up, and like instantly, I knew what you're talking about. And I could paint a picture of the person's face, of who that person might be in my world.
Yep, yep.
You know, but, you know, I think that there's some power in these, in the community, in the connectedness, the camaraderie that comes from this. And obviously you're one person, you can't be everywhere, you know, all the time, but it sounds to me kind of like what you're trying to do here is teach these other people how to fish, if you will, you know, you can go in and you could be that one guy who goes in and, you know, gets these groups started. And if you're the only person who is there now and forever, it's only going to go as far as you can go. But yep. If you can go into a church and you can help get that veterans ministry set up in that church, and they can take and run with it, right? And
absolutely,
and, you know, yep. I think that sounds to me like honestly the best possible solution, because it allows more people to benefit from the experiences that you have. And it's not to say that you completely go away, because I'm sure there's resources and support and things like that, which they may not be suited for to be able to handle on their own, but you may have some additional support services that you're able to provide should they need that down the line. But ideally, I would imagine that the goal is to essentially teach them how to fish and allow them to be able to take it and run with it. Right.
Yep. And I look at it like to add on to what you said, is there has to be that number one man on the door. Somebody has to go through the door first. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's just whether or not can we get that door down to go in. But I kind of feel like that isolation is one of the biggest challenges that veterans and first responders are facing, you know, especially after like transitioning out of service and they feel disconnected from the civilian world, even maybe misunderstood. And they kind of don't have a sense of purpose. And to combat that, that's why I'm trying to focus on different things to help rebuild and restore, give purpose, and create, you know, lasting connections. And, it, you know, it's a matter of, you know, the church is letting us in. I've looked at the analytics on the website since June. I think I've had 1,600 visitors to the website. And then I don't remember how many looked on Google, but there was like 18 people that tried to find directions. And well, right now I don't have an office or anything, but with this type of thing, it's like there's a lot of possibilities. Even I looked at the VA website. You could start a welcome center for veterans. And, you know, I tried to bring that up to churches. Hey, half the battle of getting people into church is getting them into church. We could start this where, you know, hey, come in, you know, like and help them, you know, navigate the VA system. If they don't want to go to a government employee, chat with them, let them come in, have some coffee. You already won half the battle right there. Now you just have to convince them to come back.
Right, exactly. And hopefully they've already kind of done that, but they clearly have people who do come back. And so, you know, they've figured out ways of doing that. But yeah, getting them in the door, that's, from what I've heard, is the battle, is getting someone to come in the door. And more than just like your Christmas and Easter, you know, once mm-hmm. or twice a year type people, people who come on at least a semi-regular basis, right?
Yep. I've been to a church. It was the first church that, like I said, that preacher invited me to. It was a smaller church. They weren't running like super big numbers, and you would see the massive crowds. They would come in at Christmas. They come in at the Easter service, and you know all the different services they have. And it's just, you know, it's amazing. And like you said before, veterans, you know, being in with the regular crowd, it's a good thing. It's a positive thing, you know. But I kind of feel like that at some point there's going to be a veteran who is not getting all they can out of something, and then that's when they're kind of going to turn away from it, or if they have a bad experience, that's going to prevent them from wanting to try something else. And right. And that's kind of why I'm hoping that, you know, with the website that I built, that there's a little something for everybody. And, you know, if there's something that they feel like they're not getting, let me know so I can add it. I would love to get that to you. But that's community. And, you know, I can't say that enough. I feel like that's the heart of everything. And it's even the heart of what we did, because healing doesn't happen in isolation. It happens through relationships and shared experiences and, you know, having that renewed sense of purpose. Mm-hmm. And many veterans and first responders, when they struggle with that, and that's why I'm trying to build a place where people can rebuild themselves, their faith, find support, and rediscover the mission that they once knew.
That's awesome. And I think that's a wonderful mission that you have. I'm actually just, as you were talking, I was kind of picturing, you had mentioned like a welcome center or something like that for veterans. Mm-hmm. I was just picturing like around Christmas time or Easter, you know, those big holidays that people tend to draw more people to a church. If even just during those time periods, if they had a welcome center for veterans, and how at home would you feel, you know, walking into a place that you're going because it's Christmas and okay, fine, I'm going to go, but I know I'm probably not going to be back here next week. But then you see this, you know, welcome veterans, you know, sign, banner, whatever you want to call it. And it's like, well, maybe this is a place for me. And, you know, for those who are out there listening who might be involved in a church, this might be, you know, something that you might want to consider is start considering this as you're starting to do your planning for, you know, upcoming holidays and things like that, especially big events where you're drawing more people in, because you got them in, let's latch on and keep them in and keep them coming back, right?
Yep, absolutely. And I've come across, I had a meeting with a church and they're running like 7,500 people on a Sunday, and I'm like, you know, well, how many veterans do you have here? Do you have any veterans groups? No. And I tried to, you know, get something going, and for whatever reason, they didn't, you know, want to have nothing to do with it. But I kind of feel like, even back to the Welcome Center, if I would have had that getting out, maybe things would have been a little bit easier. And because, like, when I first got out, when you get hurt in a combat zone, you get a severance pay if they put you out. Because I got medically discharged, and I got a severance pay. And I went to the VA building they had at the time, and I said, hey, I said, am I going to have to pay this back? Or, you know, what's the deal with this? And nobody could give me an answer. And then the one person who gave me an answer was wrong. And then I never went back there. I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, they obviously don't know what they're talking about, you sure. know? And maybe I could have gave it more of a chance. But then when they moved and they got a smaller staff and, you know, more knowledgeable people, then I was like, oh, you know, okay, this is great. Especially the guy that works in the county I used to live in that runs the VA office. He would tell you, hey, this is what you need to get to the next level. This is what you need to do. This is what they're looking for. You know, very knowledgeable. Mm-hmm. But I really feel like, you know, if there's a place where veterans can go just to, you know, just to get a sense of feeling like, hey, there's a place for me. You know, like, for example, there's a place that takes veterans out, shooting trips, hunting trips, sporting events. I'm like, you know, there's just, seems like the possibilities are endless.
There are
things you could do.
Yeah. There are so many things that you could do, and I think that's what I was trying to get across before for the listeners, is that if you think you've tried it all, you're wrong. You have yep. not tried it all. There is so many different groups, organizations, like you said, just like hunting and fishing trips, and if that's not your thing, okay, maybe outdoor, like a nature hike or something like that, getting yourself outside, mm-hmm. you know, people who take people surfing. I think actually out in your area, there's, you know, on the coast, there's surfing trips and stuff like that they'll do. They'll teach veterans how to surf. There's painting. There's all sorts of, my gosh, there's so many things that you can do. Yep. But a lot of these mm-hmm. things you can start to do with other people. And when you have that shared interest, not only do you have that veteran connection, but also you have a shared interest of whatever this other hobby or activity happens to be, you have that extra connection. You tend to bond a little bit easier with that person. So, you know, have an open mind, I suppose, is kind of the gist of that message, right? Now for folks who might be, who have been listening to this, and either they feel like a veterans-oriented ministry would be something that is something that they're interested in for themselves, or perhaps they are a part of a church and they realize, hey, we don't have anything for veterans at our church, specifically for veterans. We may have like a men's group or, you know, women's group or whatever, but nothing specifically geared towards veterans. What's the best way for people to reach out to find out more information about who you are, what you do, you know, kind of that type of stuff? Where can people go to find out more information?
So on the website, they can go and you can book something on there, and like we could just meet like this, sit and talk. If you're close, want to meet in person, fine. And I got a thing on there. If you want me to come to your church and speak, or if you want me to help you establish a veterans thing, I put on there, hey, don't let money be, you know, a reason that you don't want to reach out because you think, you know, no, it's free. If you can do a love offering to help with some of the expenses, fine. If not, I don't care. But there's that on there. I'm on YouTube at Breaking the Silence YT, and you can shoot me a comment on there. You can, you know, shoot me a message on there. I kind of got off of social media. I was on LinkedIn for a while. I was on Twitter for a while, and I was just getting flooded with so much political stuff. And I'm like, I'm trying to connect with people and people are trying to argue with me about different things. And I'm like, no. So I kind of cut all that off. But, you know, even on the website, I do, you know, different Bible studies on there. You know, if you want to connect that way, you know, we can do that. I also have a channel where I do responses to people who put out gun control videos. And you can find that at 2A Pistol Pete. You want to talk guns? Let's talk guns. You know, we don't have to start right away with, you know, mental health and I'm having this problem. Let's talk. I love talking guns. Sure. Constitution, you know, those are the main ways that you can reach out, you know, and if we can establish a relationship, I'm more than happy to give people my phone number. So
wonderful.
Yeah, we're there. But the website, I made it real easy. The22.org.
That's awesome.
THE22.org. Yeah. Representing, you know, the 22 veterans, but I tried to make it easy so people could find it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's actually a great website that you got there. I'm actually surprised that was still available when you got it, because it's such a, I think, powerful. It's short. It's easy to remember. The 22.org, I think, is wonderful. So again, Charles, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show, sharing what you do and helping folks, you know, with their, you know, kind of struggles with military service, their spirituality, faith, religion, whatever you want to call it, you know, all of those things. I think that's a very important piece of the overall puzzle. And if there's someone like yourself out there who is able to help, I think that's just, you know, an incredible thing. So thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show and sharing what you do. Hopefully we get some people headed your way to, you know, help out in any way that you can.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. And yeah, I'm here. If they want to reach out, I'll be more than happy to talk with them.